There is a phrase that has always bothered me. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're hard on the scribes and the Pharisees. Rightly so, many times, because they were the ones who were self-righteous, who put themselves on a pedestal. However, they were the ones who maintained obedience to the law. They were the ones who tithed 10% and then some. They were the ones who would mingle with the people. They did not separate themselves from the average person. They tried to get the rest of the people to follow the law as well. Something that every clergy person would love. A whole bunch of people who tithe 10%. A whole bunch of people who are faithful to the scripture. This is what we long for. So, what does Jesus mean? Well, we've been talking about call for the last several weeks. And sometimes we can get stuck in a certain place. And that certain place is that the call is only for the individual. That you're waiting by the phone, you, yourself, and you, for the phone to ring and for God to dial you up. And so you have this call, he has this call, she has this call, and you're all in these little individual kinds of places. Like the person that's in the canoe, all by themselves, rowing, waiting for the wind, seeing what comes next. But in reality, we're more like the rowboat team. Yes, we do have specific things that we need to do ourselves. However, we're all in the same boat. Why do we call this a nave? Because it's a big boat. It's like Noah's Ark. It's a navis, navy. It's a boat. We're all in the same boat. And therefore, we all have our own set of oars. But we're all going in the same place, in the same direction. In the Christian life, the Christian community is essential. So when Jesus speaks of you being the salt of the earth, and you being the light of the world, he is speaking in the plural. And in fact, most of Scripture is written that way. When you see the word you, since we're not speaking Elizabethan English, it was actually very helpful in the King James Version when it said ye, because it was plural. We don't have that plural you anymore, unless you're from the South, y'all, or you're from Jersey, yous, etc. But Jesus is speaking in the plural. Now, I have a fundamental assumption. That is, when we put ourselves in the Lord's presence, change occurs. And it's the kind of change that Jesus describes, being salt and light. It doesn't happen overnight, and it also doesn't happen in isolation. If you look at the lives of the great men and women of the faith, the early Christian martyrs, Francis, Teresa of Avila, Julian of Norwich, Mother Teresa, their time with the Lord changed them from the inside out. But it wasn't for themselves. They were changed and were agents of change in and by and for others. This transformation in Christ leads to outward action. This is collective action as a body. Jesus sees people with one foot in the kingdom and one foot firmly planted on the earth. Again, our tendency is to see faith as something that's private, just between myself. From the cowboy on the frontier, praying on the top of a mountain, to the woman in the bookstore, looking at Eat, Pray, Love. Or these individuals. However, this is not Jesus' vision for the kingdom. Our own John Wesley, sorry Methodist, said, if we keep the Christian religion from being seen, we make it of no effect. To turn Christianity into a solitary religion is to destroy it, says Wesley. Bonhoeffer says, flight into the invisible is a denial of the call. As much as we would like to hide our faith, make it something invisible that no one can see unless we're here, Jesus has other ideas. He uses simple images, salt and light. Salt purifies, cleanses, provides taste. Light, of course, is something that is to be seen and also to show the way. John Heigl says of salt, salt is an image of transformation. People use it to flavor food or to preserve it from rotting. Priests used it to purify sacrifices in the temple. Speaking of the community of the disciples, Jesus says, you are the flavor in a dull, insipid world. Your lies will purify and reclaim a corrupt, rotting society. And of light, he says, the idea of light coming into the world of darkness expresses hope and relief. Look at those words from those quotes. Transformation, flavor, purify, reclaim, hope, relief. Notice also Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. Not you must be the salt. Bonhoeffer again. It is not for the disciples to decide whether they will be the salt of the earth, for they are, whether they like it or not. They have been made salt by the call they have received. Again, it is not you will be the light of the world. You can be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Christ has called them. They are a light which is seen by all. They cannot be otherwise. And if they were, it would be a sign that they had not been called at all. What we are called collectively is to be an intentional community of salt and light, a purifying, pleasing, guiding community that shows people the way to God in Christ. What might that look like? Thomas Merton, the great Benedictine Cistercian, traveled to China in his last days, and he began to speak with the nuns and et cetera in China, and they were a little upset. Now, this would have been the late 50s. They were upset that he did not come to evangelize the Buddhists, the Hindus, et cetera. And Merton replied, what we are asked to do at present is not so much to speak of Christ as to let him live in us so that people may find him by feeling how he lives in us. In other words, a sense about our demeanor and our actions. Jesus imagined his images of salt and light imply that the people of God are encountered in the world around them in very intimate ways. You cannot provide light for the path or preservation for the food without there being a direct encounter with darkness and food. You can't have saltiness if no one has a taste of what you're about. We can't be salt and light if we do not see ourselves as salt and light. St. John Chrysostom says, you are accountable not only for your own life, but also for that of the entire world. What does that mean? We know it's not the legalism of the Pharisees. We know it's not selling out to the culture so much that we are indistinguishable from it. It means because we're different. It means that we are different because of being the people of God. Malcolm Muggeridge, a British journalist in the late 60s, went to Calcutta to do a documentary on Mother Teresa. Now, at this time, he was skeptical about the Christian faith, and he was the editor of a satirical magazine. So at first, Mother Teresa refused, but she changed her mind, saying, "Let us do something beautiful for God." First time she'd used that term. Leadership Magazine says, when they began filming, something strange happened. Even though there was not enough light in the hospice for filming, the finished film was bathed in a particularly beautiful, soft light. Now, Muggeridge saw it as the love of God surrounding the entire process. And later he wrote about Mother Teresa, and eventually he himself became a Christian. To be salt and light is to have love for those around us, to the extent that we feel accountable for the entire world. It's like the words of Isaac of Nineveh, "Let yourselves be persecuted, but do not persecute others. Be crucified, but do not crucify others. Be slandered, but do not slander others. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Rebuke no one, revile no one, not even those who live very wickedly. Spread your cloak over those who fall into sin, each and every one, and shield them. And if you cannot take the fault on yourself and accept punishment in their place, do not destroy their character." That's very difficult. But those who do this are salt and light. They feel accountable for others. In the words of Wesley again, we should follow after love and desire to spend and be spent for our brothers and sisters. Jean Vanier, the founder of the L'Arche Communities, tells a story. He says, "I know a man who lives in Paris. His wife has Alzheimer's. He was an important businessman, his life filled with busyness. But he said that when his wife fell sick, I just couldn't put her in an institution, so I kept her. I fed her. I bathed her. I went to Paris to visit them," says Vanier. "And this businessman, who had been very busy all his life, said, 'I have changed. I have become more human.' I got a letter from him recently," says Vanier. "He said that in the middle of the night, his wife woke him up. She came out of the fog just for a moment. And she said, 'Darling, I just want to say thank you for all you're doing for me.' Then she fell back into the fog. He told me, 'I wept and I wept.'" Vanier says, "Sometimes Christ calls us to love people who cannot love us in return. They live in the fog of mental illness, disabilities, poverty, or spiritual blindness. We may only receive fleeting glimpses of gratitude. But just as Jesus has loved us in the midst of our spiritual confusion, so we continue to love others as they walk through a deep fog. Salt and light. Loving even when we are not loved in return. Being a light guiding the way." I close with an extended quote of Hegel. "How shall we alter our daily lives so that we care about people as Jesus does? How can our careers make a difference? Which of the world's many miseries especially moves our hearts or comes to our mind when we pray? How can our wealth and possessions aid the cause? What actions could our church take? What relationships can we build outside the church that might help people to receive God's hope and healing? What words can we say to help our friends not only receive God's mercy, but to become agents of it as salt and light themselves through the life of discipleship? Jesus' embrace of us and his call to be salt and light makes our lives profoundly valuable and worthwhile, however insignificant they may seem to us at times. A return to the Beatitudes reassures us in our moments of doubt. When we ask, why would Jesus want me on his team? What possible impact can no-names like us have? Jesus answers, blessed are you, for through such unlikely people as you, God is establishing his kingdom. Knowing that we are poor in spirit, meek and far from righteous, nevertheless, he drew us to himself to make us light shining in the world.